Hey everybody, welcome to the Sports AHS podcast. I am here. I am Michael Florek. I should introduce myself before and say that I am here with our less I don't know how to describe it. It's our usual crew, but it's a little smaller than we're missing one person.
Right.
But we have staff writer Matt Wixon.
Hello.
I couldn't think of an adjective.
That's okay. Staff writer is an adjective. That works
for okay. me. Okay. And staff writer Joe Hoyt.
I was thinking we need to get you an intro adjective too, you know.
Oh.
He's missing out on it over here.
So that's true.
The marvelous, Mike? Did we already use marvelous?
I've been using a lot of M adjectives for Matt. Yeah. So, yeah, and I just ran out. But I did like my jumping Joe Hoyt one. I think
that was pretty good.
I think you should just go by that.
But that caught me off by surprise. So I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, so let's go into the week that was. And I think the biggest result from the week comes in the form of 0-5 Byron Nelson heading into that game, beating Euless Trinity in overtime 21-20, and really kind of a sloppy game from Euless Trinity. They had turnovers. They missed a field goal in the final minute. They dropped a touchdown pass in the end zone, muffed a extra point there in overtime, which ended up being the difference. But just what was your guys' reaction when you saw the score and you just heard kind of what happened there?
Well, I mean, without looking into the, you know, I was at a different game, and without looking at the stats and everything, my first thought was, were there a lot of turnovers, mistakes, and things like that? Because Byron Nelson had actually played some teams pretty closely, but it still doesn't change the fact that they hadn't won a game. And Trinity, I had quite a bit of respect for. I mean, the week before, they looked pretty good against South Lake Carroll. But like you said, and then when I looked deeper at it, it was like, okay, well, they had turnovers, they made mistakes. And the lack of ability to really pass successfully and to make that a real threat, a serious threat. They've never been a real passing team, Trinity, over the years, but they can really kill you with some big passing plays, and they haven't been able to do that so much this year.
I kind of had the same reaction where I was, you know, working on my story, and you kind of like double take on Twitter and you're like, wait, what? Like Byron Nelson beat Trinity? And then, like you said, you kind of look into it, and then, you know, a perfect storm of kind of things had to happen for, you know, Byron Nelson come out with a win. But, you know, I was looking at Mike Florek, your story a couple days later with all the videos of the last field goal. And it was just, you know, games like that that give you chills like that when you watch and seeing those kind of celebrations. That's what makes it all kind of worth, you know, watching with these high school football games. It was crazy.
Yeah, big win for Byron Nelson. Coach Travis Pride is in his first year there trying to turn it around. And Matt, as you mentioned, they had played teams close. Week one, they nearly beat Sachs. He went to overtime with them, I think, ended up losing that game. But still just surprising because, as you said, Trinity was – I had Trinity kind of – I was thinking about putting Trinity in that tier with DeSoto and Allen before they lost to Salt Lake Carroll. So to see them lose is really surprising. They were playing without their starting quarterback, who went into the game and did some punting but did not play quarterback, right, which was interesting. I really haven't figured out what happened there. We'll look into it kind of further here. But elsewhere, let's just go and look at Jesuit, who's started 0-3, now in the driver's seat there. Joe, you were at that game. They beat Skyline 52-13. And what did you see from Jesuit in this kind of rejuvenation here in these last 3 weeks?
You know, at first, you know, in the first half, you know, it was a pretty close game. Skyline's Veldon Gardner, quarterback, who is a playmaker as a sophomore, you know, he was kind of running all over the field. You know, Jesuit Jacob Polish had an interception in the first half at the 1 yard line, trying to go in for the score. But in the second half, they just came out and ran the ball. And, they ran for over 300 yards. And that really kind of keyed them to just, you know, control the clock and just run all over the Skyline defense. I mean, running the ball, they were impressive. And you can see why, you know, kind of going, starting off 0-3, losing Polish to injury to start the season, getting him back. Their offense is kind of clicking with him back, and then the two running back system they have. So they were impressive in their win over Skyline.
Yeah. I mean, I think they are kind of the inside track in that district to win the district championship there. They got a huge lead. Do you think they can make a run, I guess, as we look kind of towards the playoffs? How deep do you think this Jesuit team can go?
Well, whenever you have a running game like they're showing in their last couple weeks, and you know maybe it's going up against that district, which is not the strongest. But we'll see. Whenever you have a running game like that, and you have a team that's going to come out and play defense, you have a chance in any game you're going to play. And they can definitely do both those things. So it'll be interesting to see as the season goes forward. But like you said, they definitely have an inside track to winning that district.
And they'll be 6A D2. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I believe Skyline and Capel are going to be in there, and those are your two biggest schools in there.
Mm-hmm. And Matt, speaking of just kind of playoff races and that kind of stuff, you were at Lancaster Mansfield Summit. 10-5A is kind of a mess right now. You have Lancaster, you have Waxahachie at top, and then everybody else kind of fighting for those final two spots. Just what do you make of that district at that point, and what did you kind of see from Lancaster as we look ahead towards this Waxahachie game here in a couple weeks?
Lancaster looked really good. They beat Mansfield Summit. And like you said, I think it is a district that's pretty hard to read. But at the top, Lancaster and Waxahachie, I think, have pushed themselves clear of everybody else. And it'll be interesting when they play in a couple of weeks. But after that, it's like any time a Mansfield school plays another Mansfield mm-hmm. school, it's going to be pretty interesting. Lake Ridge has looked really good at times. And then Legacy beat Timberview on Friday. And you just, in that district, we call it the District of Doom sometimes, just because it's so deep. There's going to be a fifth place team that could win playoff games that is not going to get in the playoffs from that district. So that is a district that each week is going to produce big games and something to watch.
Yeah, and Lancaster, I think, is the one team that has the athletes to kind of compete with Waxahachie's high-powered offense. So they play in Week 10. That should be an interesting one there. Elsewhere, I saw South Lake Carroll kind of dominate Louisville. And Louisville scored early, and I was like, oh, this one could be an interesting game here. They come out. Louisville's coming off a big win in the Battle of the Axe over Flowermount Marcus. But South Lake Carroll, it turns out, is still really good. They can really do whatever they want. If they want to run the ball, they can run the ball. They got the offense to throw it up there. They had a bunch of injuries early in the year, and Coach Helwassen said that he had as many as 8 starters out at one point. So they're getting healthy now, which is kind of a scary notion.
Kind of a big thing.
Yeah, and just kind of elsewhere throughout the week, you had all kinds of upsets. TCA Addison beating Bishop Dunn. Arlington beating Arlington Lamar. Frisco Independence beating Frisco by 21 points.
That district, if we talk about that really quickly. So you had Frisco giving Frisco Lone Star, who is a legitimate, I think, is a very good team.
Yeah.
Gave them a real run. Then you had Frisco Independence losing to Frisco Heritage last week. And Frisco Heritage this following week lost to Frisco Reedy.
Yes.
Which is the first year program. And then Independence goes out and beats Frisco.
It does it convincingly.
Convincingly.
Yeah.
It's maybe that's, when they're talking about that district, of course, is all the Frisco ISD schools. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what they were envisioning in that. Yes, Lone Star is kind of at the top. But for the most part, most of those games are going to be really competitive and hard to predict because there is so much parity out there.
Yeah, I mean, and then you have Frisco Lone Star and Frisco Wakeland playing this weekend. And if Frisco Wakeland wins that game, then everything goes into chaos. We're looking at like 5-way ties for first place and that kind of stuff, which would be fun. It'd also be difficult to figure out for
fun
us.
Fun headache, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then you have Wilmer Hutchins beating Carter. Just of those games or elsewhere, just what was, other than obviously Trophy Club winning, beating U.S. Trinity, what was kind of your biggest surprise or what was your biggest takeaway just from the week?
I don't have a surprise off the top of my head, but the one that I thought was a huge game was Marcus beating Hebron, because there's another district where somebody who is a really competitive, good team is not going to make the playoffs. And Marcus, that was almost a must-win for them because of losing Louisville the week prior. And they got that touchdown in the final minute and got that win, and that could end up being the one that gets them in the playoffs. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. And then the Arlington win over Arlington Mar, I thought was pretty big, 17-13. Defensively they showed up, and that's another district too that's been kind of just like with a lot of teams, it's like you're trying to figure out Mansfield, Arlington, Martin.
Yeah.
So yeah.
A lot of chaos, Matt, as you mentioned, in that Flower Mound Marcus district, that Louisville ISD district, because you have Southlake, who's kind of at the top right now, they're 3-0. And then you have a bunch of teams 2-1 and 1-2. I believe there's like 6 or 7 teams in there, right, that could make the playoffs. I just, when you look at it, can you make any sort of sense of it? Can you kind of see how this one plays out?
Now that Euless Trinity lost to Byron Nelson, it's pretty difficult. But, I mean, Carroll, I believe Carroll's going to win the district. And then after that, I mean, you've got Marcus, Hebron, Trinity, Louisville, Flower Mound, who really all, and, you know, Byron Nelson now is 1-2, so they're only a game back of all those that are tied. It's really too early to call. And it's another district where each week you're going to find really compelling games for that reason. I think Flower Mound plays Hebron this week. Yeah. That's another game where the winner's thinking, wow, we really have a shot at the playoffs, and the loser's probably like, man, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's weird that we're like just over halfway through the season and like kind of just starting district play almost, and it's still like this game could determine the playoffs right
here.
It's
must win time for a lot of them, yeah.
Which is fun, which is awesome. And speaking of kind of a more than a must win, just kind of the greatest win of the week, as we mentioned, Trophy Club Byron Nelson beating Euless Trinity. Let's welcome on Trophy Club Byron Nelson coach Travis Pride right now. What was your kind of reaction when you saw that extra point in overtime go through and you guys had finally pulled it off there?
I would have to say probably relief. You know, you come out there and you know every week a coach knows what his team's capable of. Sometimes getting that done is not always easy, you know, due to all sorts of circumstances. So it's a young team, it's a growing team, and after the first quarter you're like, hey, we're going to be in this baby, and then at half like we can play with them, and third quarter looks good, and then fourth quarter, and you know, I thought in the fourth quarter when they had missed a field goal, we had an opportunity to go down there and maybe kick a field goal before the time expired, and kind of ran out of time. I was like, oh my goodness, I hope that wasn't a missed opportunity, and then it all worked out. But it was a sense of excitement. Certainly happy for your kids, your coaches. Sometimes we've been doing this a long time that you never take wins for granted. The kids were super excited, so I was happy for their success.
Mm-hmm. Coach, going up against a top team like that, going into the game, you see one of the top teams in the state. You guys, were winless. Did you, as the game kind of went on, did you see your players maybe start believing more, or could you see more of a confidence brewing as, like you said, the game, was close, and then it's like, oh, wait, you guys got a real shot at winning this?
Yeah, not that I'm any different than any head coach, but, I'll try to be real realistic with my team. I don't want to, kind of misconstrue things. So I told them they're going to have to get off that bus and, play. They're going to have to, Trinity's going to come out there and be physical and pop them in the mouth. And I told them that at halftime, I apologized to my teammates. I said, hey, guys, you guys are doing a great job. I didn't, I was concerned that you would come out there and be intimidated. So I said, I take my hat off to you guys are not playing intimidated. I said, so now that I know you're not intimidated, I said, here's our second half game plan. You guys get out there and let's just turn the volume up a little bit and let's see if we can win this thing. So that was kind of the progress of the game, as we kind of got a feel for them. And the coaches did a good job and the players did an excellent job in executing the game plan. But so it was a lot of fun.
You mentioned confidence in there within the game. I mean, you guys had played some really tough teams and played them tough in those first weeks of the season. But what does just getting the W, let alone it's against Euless Trinity, a team, a very respected team around the area, what do you think that can do for the team's confidence going forward?
I think, whether you're a father with kids or a coach with, athletes or whatever, you're gonna preach a certain lesson all through the process, whether it's spring ball or two-a-days or whatever. What happens when something finally comes to fruition, then it kind of validates what you've been saying. So, I think it's going to be a great boost of confidence, supposedly, and I don't know, all the Byron Nelson tradition, but they've been in a couple of games, close games against, pretty big teams, and they've been close from time to time, but they've never really gotten over the hump. And like you kind of said, you kind of look back and, there's a lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas and stuff like that, but we really feel, other than the San Angelo Central game, and they just got off the bus and whooped our tail. But every other game, from the Saxies to the Flower Mounds to the Hebrons to the whatever, we've been in the game, very winnable situations. And we just were never mature enough or enough confidence or whatever all the intangibles are to kind of get over the hump and end up with more points than them. So I think it can be... I told them today after practice, I said, now the state of Texas out there looking at you if you're a one hit wonder, if you guys can come back and back it up the next weekend. I said, so, you know, that's up to us as a team to make a statement or not.
Hey, I think one of the more impressive things was you go into halftime 0-0, and then Trinity comes out and scores, and you respond right back. They come back, and they score again. You guys respond again. Just when they go up for that first time, was there kind of a sense of like, uh-oh, like here they come? And just how did you guys kind of stop the momentum from getting kind of out of hand there?
Well, you know, again, it's a reflection of my position coaches and also the players, you know, because, you can talk all day to how do you respond in adversity, but until you're put in that situation, then that's when you kind of test a true person's character. So I know, you know, again, like, but every week I felt I knew what our team was capable of, but potential and practicality and application are, you know, two different things. So when they came out and scored right off the get go, then, you know, I would lie if a little piece of me didn't go, okay, how are my teammates going to respond to this? And you know, them going out there, and we had missed, I know they talked about some Trinity had missed my. But we'd had, if you go back and watch the game field, we'd missed three pretty wide open touchdown passes in the first half as well. So I knew that there was some stuff on the table in terms of what we are capable of. And then so in the second half when they scored and we came back and answered back, which is obviously huge from a momentum standpoint, then I was like, okay, you know, these kids are going to put it together and we're going to continue to be in this ball game. I knew it more likely come down to a couple critical situations, and obviously it did.
You mentioned, how close you guys have been playing some of these really good teams earlier in the season, but having the ability to finish like you did against Trinity, was there something when you look back at film, you know, and kind of reviewed the game that stuck out as like, oh, that's kind of like a main reason why we were able to stick in this game and then actually come out and finish with a win?
Well, I think some of it was just some resilience on our part in terms of just playing physical, because they're, you know, they're as everybody knows, they're a big physical football team, and there was a lot of banging stuff going on. I think about somewhere in the mid third quarter, they had a couple players. They weren't hurt over the long term, just kind of, you know, banged up for a few plays and kind of tapped out. And our kids kind of fed on that, because we talk about one of our game day expectations. Everyone has their little things. We want to try to kill the opponent's will. So, you know, I have players up and down the sideline saying, hey, it's time to turn it up. You know, they're getting tired. We're being as physical as them. And so, there was kind of a part right there about mid-third quarter. Our kids kind of cranked up the volume a little bit. And I think that kind of gave us the energy and momentum to kind of carry it through to through the fourth quarter.
What was the celebration like?
Oh gosh, they were nuts. It was the kids were excited, the coaches were certainly excited. Everyone had their I'm not a Twitter or anything guy, but there's been a lot of footage out there. So I finally was just happy I could take a breath, because I don't think I took a breath in the last half of the football game. So, and then they're over there and they want to dump water on you and everything. And part of you is like, I want to get to a point where, you have a lot more of these types of victories. But on the same note, you want to make sure those kids, if you can't enjoy a win, irregardless of what your record's been, then, you know, you probably shouldn't play the game. So I let them milk it for all it's worth. And, we have a 24-hour rule. And after that, we had to put it on the shelf and get ready for the next opponent.
So did they end up getting you with the Gatorade bath or the water bath?
Yeah, they did. And I was even forewarned. They didn't do it out on the field, which was, I was thankful for, because, you know, we're not to that point. We need to be dumped a Gatorade on Coach Pride's on the sideline, you know, just for the first win of the season. But going around the tunnel, the kids had a big plan in mind, and one of my coaches came up and warned me. He said, hey, Coach, I think they got some brewing over there around the corner. Because in Pennington, you kind of – so it went through my mind real quick. I was like, okay, am I going to tolerate a 35-minute drive home being soaking wet? So am I going to nip this and say, or am I going to – kind of let them fall through. So I knew I was fully aware of it, but I put on a little act, like a kid comes out and says, hey, we got someone down, coach, they need you, come running up the tunnel. So I went through the whole routine fully knowing what they had up their sleeves. But sometimes you got to give a little bit in this, you know, this world. So I thought they deserved a little excitement. So yeah. I played my part.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned you're trying to turn the program around. You're in your first year. Just what does a win like that do for just kind of turning the program around or helping you kind of getting it go in the right direction there?
Well, I think it's real. You know, I think it's huge for a lot of reasons. Number one, you know, you're up against, you know, Byron's kind of a unique place. It's been open for 7 years. I think we're going on eight. And every couple years, they've kind of jumped up to a new classification. So, you know, they opened up and whatever they were, you know, six, 7 years ago, 3 or 4A probably. And once they kind of got their foothold and, hey, we can play in this league, then boom, they jump up to 5A. And once they kind of got a foothold in 5A and say, hey, we can play with these boys, then boom, you jump up to 6A. And then we went from 6A to not only 6A, but to one of the, you know, arguably one of the tougher districts in 6A, certainly with you know, the Flower Mounds and Trinities and Southlake. So it's never like they've really been there where they could kind of get a foothold and feel. So not only does it show the kids that, listen, we can play with the top level of football in Texas, which is where we want to play, but also we can win at that level. So, you know, it validates a whole bunch of things, and it certainly gives you some, you know, enthusiasm and excitement to go to work again on Monday. So I think it's going to be good for us. You know, hopefully we, you know, is an opportunity for us. We had to execute to get it, but we're certainly in a position that brought us back to life for the playoff hunt and stuff. So now it's up to us to kind of use this foothold and continue to gain ground with our program.
Well, thanks for joining us, Coach. Really appreciate it.
You betcha. I appreciate you all as well.
All right, let's just go on to our final segment, looking ahead here to week 8. And let's start right away with the Nobody Believes in Us game. I don't even know how to really...
It's sweeping the western half of the nation.
Yeah, I don't really know how to describe it anymore. It's just happening.
Right.
Joe picked Lake Highlands last week. Tough loss there. took the L. Matt picked Louisville.
Tough loss there.
Took another L. I picked Arlington.
Way to go.
They beat Arlington Lamar 13-7 without their starting running back, Kenlin McCray. So just a good win by them. Also picked them in the paper. So got the double points.
Bam, bam.
So
he may have an insurmountable lead at this point.
I have a commanding 4-1-1-0 lead.
Womp, womp, womp.
Joe's coming up in the rear with zero. Matt has one. Avi has one. Avi is not here. Yet again for the second straight week, so he does not get to pick. But let's go into this week. Matt, who are you looking at? Who are you going to take as your Nobody Believes in Us team for week 8?
Okay, for week 8, I'm going to go with North Mesquite. North Mesquite plays Longview this week. It is here in Mesquite, so that's an advantage. Also, North Mesquite is coming off a week off, and prior to that, they beat Rockwall Heath, which was a pretty impressive win. You know, one of the things, North Mesquite has been real, real solid early in the year. They've struggled with some injuries. Jacquez Gooch missed most of 2 games, I believe, and now get another extra week to get healthy. He's back. I think they've got a real shot to win this game against a really good Longview team.
I raised my eyebrows when you made that pick, but that explanation was very well done. You sort of convinced me that North Mesquite's going to take it here. Yeah, that was well done. Now,
he's still like, whatever.
It was a good explanation. Like making Longview come to Mesquite. That's just a you know, long, robust trip and whatnot. So, I can see it.
I think it's going to be a good game. I'll give you that much.
I can see it. Joe, who are you taking?
Well, I'm going to raise your eyebrows again.
Okay.
I think I've developed a trend here of picking some crazy picks. You know, my Lake Highlands pick didn't, you know, fare out. And since I've got 0 points, I kind of feel like I might throw a couple Hail Marys out there. So I'm going to go with Mansfield Legacy.
Okay.
Taking down Waxahachie. And, you know, obviously Waxahachie is well-known. Jalen Rager, one of the best receivers in the state. number two team in our 5A rankings. But, you know, Legacy had a nice win against Timberview. They were up for most of the game. Timberview kind of came back, and it, you know, ended up being 28-26. And they've got some playmakers. The Catalan brothers are, you know, really good. Jalen Catalan, their sophomore safety, is going to go over 100 tackles. He's at 89, and he's got 4 picks, so he's a playmaker. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see. I think if any team, you know, I mean, Waxahachie is going to come out and do their thing, but, you know, I think I'm going to throw the Hail Mary out this week with Legacy. So,
yeah, Waxahachie undefeated, 6-0, ranked in the top 10 in the state in the AP poll. The Legacy, I can see where it kind of makes sense because they have the athlete. They got a lot of athletes,
right. Mm-hmm.
And you need a lot of athletes to beat Waxahachie because they have quite a few as well. Mm-hmm. With all those receivers, so
and yeah. Because of, you know, me being in last place with zero, you know, and I'm in Mike being on the inside track to the title here for the Nobody Believes in This game, I feel like I should have at least one, you know, Hail Mary shot at a signature, you know, win,
a
that
signature
I can
pick
signature
sure.
pick. So yeah, there's mine.
Yeah, well, we went into last week knowing that you missed a couple weeks, and you had a shot at 4 points last week, and it did not play out, but We'll see if you can get back in the game here with the Legacy pick. That would be a big win for Legacy. Me, I had 2 games I was looking at. I was looking at riding the Arlington bandwagon for all it's worth, Arlington versus Arlington Bowie this week. Or, and this is the game I'm going to take Rockwall over Mesquite Horn. Rockwall has struggled earlier, played a tough schedule, then lost to Rockwall Heath in the rivalry game over in Rockwall, but just a lot of points are going to be scored in this game. A lot of passes are going to be thrown. So, you know, who knows? Maybe Mesquite Horn has a couple turnovers. Rockwall can capitalize, that kind of stuff. So I'm taking Rockwall over Mesquite Horn.
I'm going to give you that, but I think it's debatable because I think Rockwall might even be a favorite in that game.
Oh.
It might, because Rockwall has kind of, I have to look again, but Rockwall's kind of owned Horn. And if you think by records alone, for sure, Rockwall is the underdog. But I'm going to allow it. I'm not even the person who came up with the game, so I think we. I don't even have a vote.
Are you vying to be commissioner of
no,
yeah.
No. But I'm saying I think Rockwall is so much better than its record. I mean, they have a close loss to Longview. They lost to Rockwall Heath, and then they played a bunch of good teams in non-district. But I think you're right for picking that game because I think Rockwall couldn't win that game.
Okay. I mean, I can ride the Arlington bandwagon.
No, you're good.
Okay.
You're good. Go with Rockwall.
All right. So there are our picks. Now, send us your picks, you know, at SportsDHS on Twitter or just our personal Twitters. Or you can, I don't know, put them on Facebook if you want to. Who knows? We'll see what happens. We'll find them eventually.
There's so many social media
possibilities. Just put them on the internet and we'll find it eventually. Elsewhere, great slate of games this week. We went into last week thinking there wasn't that good of a slate of games, and then everything kind of broke loose there with all the wins yeah. and upsets and all that kind of stuff. So, biggest game, I think, is Allen versus Denton Guyer. Allen number 1 in our rankings. Denton Guyer, I believe, up to number 5 at this point. Matt, what do you see from that game?
Well, I see the winner winning the district because in a highly controversial pick. I think, well, you know, Allen's playing at home. That's an edge. And the fact that Allen has just been, they've been so solid and so balanced. Their offense started kind of slow the year, but their defense was great, especially against the run. I mean, they were jamming everything. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how Denton Guyer can run against that Allen front, because Guyer has a great running attack with Noah Kane and Myron
Mason.
They haven't had the same kind of attack after having their quarterback transfer, although they've had pretty good play, you know, that way, but they just can't pass the ball the way maybe what you would see out of a top flight state championship contender, although they still have that opportunity to show that. I think that's what it's going to come down to. Allen's going to be able to sell out against that run, and if Guyer can still do it, they've got a shot to win this game. If not, then I think Allen rolls.
Yeah, it would be as I think you mentioned this in our meeting, Allen hasn't lost the district since 2005. Is that right?
That's right.
Wow.
So a lot riding on this. Yeah, as Matt said, this the winner of this kind of has the...
They haven't lost the district title, I should say. They have lost the district game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Allen hasn't lost a regular season game since, what, 2012?
Correct.
Yeah, so a lot riding on this game. Elsewhere in 6A, you got Duncanville versus SGP. Another really good one. Yeah, really good one.
That's another one where if one of us had picked it as the nobody believes in us, who would you pick? In some ways, because Duncanville, nobody's believed in them for years, but they have a good record this year. And South Grand Prairie is really tough and competitive every year.
Yeah, I guess our rankings say that Duncanville is the favorite because they're ranked a little higher. But it looks pretty evenly matched. You also have South Lake Carroll versus Flowerman Marcus in a big game in that district we talked about over there. 5A. Really interesting 5A slate. Grapevine, Richland, two undefeated teams playing each other in a district game that really it will be interesting to see how it all plays out. There's Colleyville Heritage is also in that district, so whoever wins that game, both of them still have to play Colleyville Heritage. But kind of a huge game there for two schools on the rise and haven't been undefeated in a while and that kind of stuff. So something to look out for there. Also, Highland Park, Mesquite Poteet.
That'll be a fun game.
At Highland Park.
Yeah, great game. Two strong defenses there. What were they averaging, Joe? Do you remember?
15.2 points per game, both of them.
Both of them averaging 15.2 points.
The same.
Stats.
Yeah. And also, Frisco Lone Star versus Frisco Wakeland, which we talked about a little bit. Joe, just what are you expecting there?
I mean, kind of like what we talked about earlier, you know, Frisco Lone Star is at the top, but, you know, if Wakeland does come in, I mean, they both have the same record, but if Wakeland comes in, kind of dethrones them from the top of that district, it's chaos will ensue, and it's going to be a good game, so.
Yeah, Wakeland's interesting because, you know, they looked really good, and then they play Reedy, and they barely survive Reedy, but now Reedy looks a little frisky, so.
Frisco Reedy.
Yeah, frisky Frisco Reedy, so. Just a lot to watch out for this week. We will be out there covering it all. Go to sportsdhs.com. You can see all the scores, the stats, the standings, the stories, the photos,
the awkward Twitter feeds,
the polls, all that stuff. sportsdhs.com, at sportsdhs on Twitter, facebook.com/sportsdhs. Instagram Sports AHRS. Go to iTunes, give us a review, tell us what you think about this week and who do you think is going to win the Nobody Believes in Us game.
Request a song.
Yeah, you can you make special requests for the podcast. Yeah, just tell us how we're doing. And for me, for Matt, for Joe, and for the Epson Avi, we'll see you Friday night.